Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Ian. Wonderful choice of songs. Now, why should we gain from his reward? Why should we gain from his reward? That was the beautiful gift that God gave us, didn't he? He sent his son down, but then he took him away. He suffered for our sins to wash us clean. Right? Amazing gift. And then he sent us the Holy Spirit to work within us and through us and for us, isn't it? Another amazing gift. We thank the Lord for all of that. So now, time for the children to go. King's kids, yeah? Yeah.
Microphone's on the floor.
Yeah.
I just felt I should share something really quickly. While we were having communion, I was just really struck by the sacrifice that God made for us in the form of Jesus. And as you will know, many of you will know, our son Jacob was in hospital. Came out a week ago tomorrow, was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and when he first went in, he couldn't even squeeze our hand. He was in recess. And I just saw him lying there, and I thought, God, you sent your only son, and Jacob's lying here, and I couldn't send him. I wanted him to be healed and to come home, and today he's out playing football.
Amen.
And I just want to thank God for that.
Thank you. Right, so time for the kids to go. And we've got youth as well, haven't we? Yeah? This is the first part of our baptism course, isn't it? Wonderful. Right, so if you're the children, right? And we pray for our children, Lord. We bless them and we thank you for them, Lord. And we pray that you plant the seeds that they need to move forward in their faith and grow stronger in their belief of you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. And we're going to welcome David, our preacher of the day.
And I'll move the furniture.
I'll take that off.
Did you really think that?
No. Lord, we thank you for David. Lord, we lift him up, your servant, with his servant heart, Lord. And that what he's prepared today will bless us and give us the learning we need to grow stronger in our faith towards you, Lord. We know that every word that come out of his mouth will be of yours, Lord. And we thank you for it. Amen.
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 Amen. It's been lovely worship this morning. It really has, hasn't it? It's been really good. It's over there, apparently, somewhere. Oh. It'd be nice to have a bit of rain occasionally, wouldn't it? Oh, my goodness. Just good to be here. Sorry? My bike's outside. It's all right, I bought a canoe. Have you ever had to give a reference for somebody, for a job, or to encourage? Well, you know, just to, you know, I know in the old days when somebody went a visiting, they used to get sent with a letter of introduction. You know, this is my friend Adrian. It would stop there. But no. And it would sort of tell you about their character, about they are, who they are. And I've been looking at some references, because in references, there's things you're not allowed to say, isn't there? Isn't there? There's things you mustn't say. So if I said, this is my dear friend Adrian, he struggled to meet performance targets. What am I saying? He's either very bad at what he's doing or he's lazy. Come on, you're allowed to talk to me, okay? Instead of saying, how about if I said, he preferred to work independently.
He's not a team player.
He could even be difficult. No. Or even rude. Or he's a one-man band. He does not adhere to company policies, and this was lacking. He's a, let's move from Adrian, shall we? This is some, yeah. But he's unreliable. He's untrustworthy. And how about just finishing with this? I can confirm his dates of employment and his title. I can't say anything else. Now, I found this one. I hope you enjoy this one. This is written to a lady called Miss Brown, or about Miss Brown. And this is apparently she received two references to pass on, and this was one of them. To whom it may concern. I have employed Miss Brown for 3 long years. And am very enthusiastic to recommend her for a new position in any capacity with any business. Whatever it is, she will be fantastic at it. While employed here, Miss Brown has displayed great facility in the use of social and audio visual media and text messaging, not to mention telephone skills with a variety of non-employment related parties. Furthermore, Miss Brown has displayed great attention to detail in many areas, with the possible exception of document review, preparation and mailing, and oftentimes got the mail in the correct box. She is punctual on the day that she comes into work on time, and is always the first in place when leaving the office. She has been pleasure to work. Sorry, she has been a pleasure to work with. On occasions, those occasions when she has had enough sleep and otherwise conscientious procedures during her employ. In terms of productivity, she definitely rates a smiley face. Miss Brown has many unique qualities, and they will be missed, spelled M-I-S-T. And I'm sure that it will take many days to find replacement for Miss Brown's caliber. I fervently hope that Miss Brown is able to be an amazing asset for another firm, organisation, proprietorship, institution or agency in as expeditious manner as possible. If there is anything further that I can do to facilitate, this includes personally driving Miss Brown to her new employment, please, please, please let me know. Thank you for your kind attention. That's a good reference, isn't it? References. Talks about character and capabilities. What could be done? I was reading another book the other day, and I came across an incredible letter of introduction, an incredible letter of reference. And it goes like this. He has been appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be my son"? But when he again brings a firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angel, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has appointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same forever. Your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Character and capabilities. Of course, this is the opening chapter to the book of Hebrews. And who is being introduced to us? Jesus. God is introducing Jesus to us. He is placing there before us a reference, a word of introduction. And he is saying, this is my son. This is Jesus. This is who he is, what he can do, and what he will do. So he's actually set up before us something. He wants us to know who Jesus is. This morning, I'm not sure I'll teach you anything new. But I want to encourage you this morning as we stop and look at the person of Jesus. And I've only got a short while, so I won't explain everything about Jesus to you this morning, because I still don't know everything about him. But what I found is incredible. What I found is too wonderful. As introduction goes, that's a pretty good introduction, isn't it? Not too bad. Perhaps over the next season of visits when I come to you, I might build on this and we'll see how it develops. I love Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews because not only does it set us and show us who Jesus is, but it tells us of the Old Testament, of the prophecies and the promises and what God has said to us. We will see them fulfilled in and through Christ, so that we know the word of God is always faithful, isn't it? The word of God is always, always faithful. You know, the Old Testament promises and prophesies and displays more of God's power and love, but we will see it in Christ Jesus. The fulfillment of the promises, not the doing away with them, but the fulfillment of them. As I said, that's not a bad introduction or a reference. But you know, what really is good with a reference is who writes it. When I was very, very young, when I was going for my first job of my apprenticeship, I had a reference written for me by my next door neighbor. Well, you might not think that's very important, but my next door neighbor was a very senior naval officer. And he carried respect wherever he went. His name was known. He was a man of respect. So when I received a reference or passed on a reference from him, people listened. Who has written this reference, this letter of introduction to us of Jesus? It's only written by Almighty God himself. And I think that must stand for something. This is not the Apostle Paul writing it, because nobody is 100% sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. So this isn't man's thinking of this is who Jesus was. This isn't somebody down the road. This isn't even the King of England. This is the King of the universe saying, this is my son. This is what I am telling you. And I tell you something, the Almighty God does not lie, does he? He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't paint things in pretty pictures just to make us believe. He tells the truth. And so this reference we're listening to, this reference I've read to you, is from the throne room of God itself. Therefore, I think, what have I got up there? Yeah, I think we ought to listen because it's God speaking to us. And God's word is important, isn't it? Isn't it? We need to listen. We need to listen. God has spoken to us, saying, "This is my son." Elsewhere, he says, "This is my son who am I well pleased." In the Old Testament, he says, "This is my son who will bring salvation," and he's brought salvation. So the introduction is coming from God himself. So pin back your ears, church. God at various times and in various ways spoke. As I said, this is not man's thought. It's God's thought. And it's in the scriptures. Now, when we read the scriptures, when we read the prophets, when we read Paul's letters, when we read the gospels, who is the author of those words? It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's God. Yes, he's using the character and he's using the personalities of the prophets, of these gospel writers, of Paul and the other letter writers. But it is God speaking to us. And God wants to speak to us. I've got a lot of notes here this morning, but I really want to emphasize this morning that it's God who's speaking. I'm going to conclude, and I'll warn you, I'll tell you about that now. I'm going to conclude and ask you, how are you listening? How are you listening? It's moved on from what I thought I was going to say, but that's where I'm going to finish this morning. But let's get there first, shall we? God has spoken. God has spoken. All scripture is God-breathed, isn't it? It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. The word is theonoustos, which means, theo means God, and noustos means knowing. It's spoken by God. God breathed the scriptures to us, and we ignore the scriptures at our own loss. But what does he say about Jesus? Wrong way. This is what he says. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son, through whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. He says, "You have laid, O Lord, in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." And he upholds the universe with the word of his power. He is saying, this is what he's saying to us. Jesus, you're the heir of all things. He has been appointed by God to inherit all that the Father has. Jesus is also the creator of this earth. Somebody put it like this once, that God is the architect of everything. Jesus is the creator of everything. And the Holy Spirit is the beautifier. So it's the three in one working together to make it come perfect. But Jesus is the inheritor to all of this. You, O Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. When we go out at night and look at those stars, they have been laid there by the hand of God, by the hand of the Trinity, by the three in one working together. He has made it. He has come together. I don't know about you, but I think creation is, well, it just blows me, it blows my mind. It really does. When we see the beauty of the trees, when we see those little birds, various. I think I just love creation. I really do. And then when we think that he's made each one of us and how we work, it's incredible. And it's just great news about Jacob as well. I just, I was going to ask actually afterwards how he's doing, but it's great that he's home. Great he's playing football, isn't it? God is good. He's good. He's the miracle worker. Hallelujah. So he's the creator. He's laid the foundations of everything. Not only is that, he maintains it. He holds it all together. One day we shall know that this world will finish, that it will all roll up and we will see him face to face. But until that day, he's holding it all together. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your rule of scepter is justice. You love justice, you hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has appointed you. In the Psalms, it says the same thing. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Your throne is established from old. Jesus is eternal. He had no beginning. He has no end. He goes on. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever he's done for you in the past, he can do today. Whatever he can do today, he can do tomorrow. There is no fault in Christ Jesus. There is no weakness in your Lord this morning. He can meet all things. He is never ending. His throne is never ending. That means his authority cannot be done away with. He has all authority given to him from the Father. It says, doesn't it, in the scriptures, they will perish, but you will remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up. They will be changed, but you, Jesus, this is Father saying to him, but you, Jesus, are the same, eternal, and your years will not fail. He is the same. I tell you, I find reassurance in that. That God doesn't change. That he is perfect. And if something's perfect, there's no need to change, is there? No need at all. His glory. I prayed before the service, let his glory fall in this place. Let his glory fall. And in the testimonies and the worship, I just really felt something of that. I really thank him for that. He is glorious to behold. Yes, the scripture said there's nothing about him that would attract you naturally to him. But there was something about the aura of Christ, of the authority of God, that the very sense of his being that drew men and women to himself. I suppose it could simply be his inherent goodness. But it says, doesn't he is in the brightness of his glory. He is the express image of his person. If you see Christ, you see God. If you see God, you see Christ. If you see the Godhead, you see the Spirit. They're all working together. He is glorious. He is glorious. Hallelujah. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Now, scepters, they go right back to the kings of old. Right back. Have you ever seen those statues of pharaohs? And they've got their arms crossed. And in one hand, they've got a little crook. And that's the scepter. But what amazes me is that scepter also represents the shepherd's crook. So not only is the scepter, Jesus is our shepherd, isn't he? And we are his sheep. He is the good shepherd. And this is displayed, but his righteousness, what he stands for, what he does, is because of his righteousness, his right standing, his morals. The way that he does things is what sets him apart. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. He's just. He's higher than the angels. Jesus is greater than the angels. The angels are pretty good. I quite like angels. They're pretty good, yeah. But Jesus is greater than they. Could you know, it's not long past Christmas. I don't know how many weeks it is till the next one, but it's coming soon. On that Christmas morning, the angels appeared in the heavens, didn't they? And they sung glory to God in the highest. And the spectacle was incredible. The shepherds were speechless. And those angels, they just declared the goodness of God. But Jesus is even more glorious than they. Not only higher, as you might think, in position, but higher in status. For God created the angels, and Jesus is God. The Father says, "Hey, you are my son." He's never said that to an angel. He said, "Sit at my right hand." The right hand is the place of authority, the place of privilege, the place of honor. And that place is the place where only Jesus can sit. And he's not just sat there this morning doing nothing. He's not sat there just looking down at the world that he's created, at the world he's holding together and all the angels running around after us. He's looking down, and today he's making intercession for you. He's praying for you. God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is praying for you. Do you know what that tells me? You matter. You are important. You are on the heart of God this morning. He is sat at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Praise his name. Praise his name. He's there praying for us. He's given them a name. Hello, oh, sit on my right hand. And he's given them a name which is above every other name. And names are important. They carry more than just a title. In the old days, they used to carry a description of the person. They work. Sometimes their character. You know, it's a shame that it's not so often that you hear little girls called Hope nowadays. Got any hopes in the church? There's no hope in this church. Come on. No. But it's a lovely name, isn't it? Hope or faith. Charity. Some of these old names, I think they're better than some of these made up ones we've got. Anyhow, get off that one, David. Yeah. But Jesus has a name which is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. His name is a name above everything because it tells us who he is, shows us what he is. Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, Baptizer, Friend, all in that name. Your throne is forever. Sit at my right hand. You have a name which is above all other names. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sin, he has sat down. Jesus' work of salvation is complete. He sat down at the Father's hand. But his salvation still goes on. It's not a one-off, is it? It's a continual thing. There are some of us who may need to find salvation for the first time. Seek it out, find it, accept it to yourself because you won't find anything better. But each one of us, as we grow in Christ, as we move on in Christ, we have to grow. And that's where salvation comes in. I know the Greek goes on, it says, we are saved, we are being saved, as we shall be saved. The work isn't finished in us yet. And do you know how I know the work isn't finished in any of you yet? Because you're still here. If God had finished his work within you, you'd be sat up there worshipping him. I've left a couple of verses off from the reading from Hebrews. In fact, it's the very opening verses. And I've left them to now because I think they're really quite significant. in these last days God has spoken to us by his Son. At various times, in various ways, he's in the past, by the fathers, by the prophets, has spoken to us in these last days. The point of this, the revelation of Hebrews 1 to us, is that God wants us to know Jesus. Why? Yes, in the past he spoke by the prophets, the revelation of the Old Testament, but the new dispensation has come where he's talking to us through Jesus. He's showing us the wholeness of who Jesus is and our salvation. He wants us to know Jesus better. Why? Because he wants us to move into the fullness of everything that God has got for us. He wants us to know more and more and more about Jesus, that we might be more and more and more like him. And if we are more like him, then this world will change. You know, as I was driving in, I don't know, I heard it on the radio. We are a Christian country, aren't we? Aren't we? Apparently only 44% of us. This country is only declaring 44% Christian nowadays. That's shocking, isn't it? I was really, I was shocked by it, to say the least. Oh boy, what is happening? But if we become more like Jesus, if we start doing all that he's asked us to do, we need to get those figures back up. Men and women need to know Christ, don't they? Don't they? God has spoken to us about Jesus, that we might know him, that we might know the power, that we might know his salvation, that we might know his healing, that we might know his nature, that we might tell others about what we have found. Paul in Thessalonians said that, I don't want you to be ignorant. And the point, I think, of this opening chapter of Hebrews is God saying to us, I don't want you to be ignorant about my Son. I want you to know him in his fullness, that you might have the fullness. The Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of any of the truths that who Jesus is. He would have us to live in the power, in the love, in the grace, in the mercy, in all of that, that we might display him more. Church, I want you to know why we need to know Jesus more, why I need to know Jesus more, so we can live in the victory over sin. We can live in the victory over death. Yes, so that we can demonstrate God in our lives with power, but also that we must tell others. He has set his angels to minister over us. He has set his Holy Spirit within us so that we too are to be ministers to them who shall be the heirs of salvation. But how, if God is speaking, how are we listening? I am the most annoying person in the world. You ask anybody who tries to phone me. I've got a lovely habit of turning the sound off, so when it rings, I can't hear it. I get a ding when it's a message or something, but I never hear it ring. Ian knows that because I went to my phone yesterday morning and found a message he'd left me. I am most annoying because I've got a tendency to turn my phone off. And not like most young people, although I'm not one of those anymore, I don't carry it around in my pocket or in my hand continually. I'm not excited by mobile phones. They're useful, but I'm not excited by them. But that means that if somebody wants to speak to me, I can't hear them because I've switched off. Are we like that with God sometimes? I want to speak to you, but you're switched off. You're not listening. You're on mute. Or are we distracted by other things? Because my hearing is so great, the doctor thought, well, you better have some hearing aids just so you can hear even better. The trouble is with my ears as normal. If there's noise going on in the background, I can't hear what you're saying to me. So I've got these new weapons in my ears. But if I haven't got them on, Christine will tell you, my wife, the telly is about 80, up to number 85. Especially with films. And if there's music in a film, I can't hear what's going on. So I've got to put these in, and I can turn the telly down to 20, 21, and I can hear what's going on. Are we distracted by other things? Are we too busy to listen to God? Are we doing the things that we like to do? Or something that's got our attention? Christine was trying to tell me about something this morning, and I wasn't interested in it at all. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't need to hear it. It wasn't important in my life, in what was going on in my life at that moment. So I tuned out. I could see her lips moving, and I knew she was talking, but I was still thinking about what I was thinking about. I was distracted. What I wanted was more important than what she was saying, or so I thought. Are we like that with God? Can we be so fixed on one thing? So if I can leave you with this thought, God is speaking. God wants to speak. How does he speak to us? Yes, I still believe God can use a verbal voice. For goodness sake, if God can use donkeys, he can speak to us with a verbal voice. We can hear it with our ears. We can sense it in the spirit sometimes. When he speaks, you get something in your mind or something just comes that you just know it's right and it's of God. He speaks to us through the scriptures. And next week at your vision meeting, God is going to speak to you. How are you going to listen? Are you going to come in with blinkered vision? I know what we want, I know what I want, and therefore nothing else is going to do. I seem to remember reading a piece of scripture in the Old Testament, when the people cried out, we want a king, we want a king, we want a big, tall, strong fella. So God gave them it. But he didn't get up to much good, did he? So God brought along a little shepherd boy who fitted the match. Listen to what God is saying. Don't come in blinkered. Don't come in distracted. Don't come in fear. Don't come in despair. Don't take Mrs. Brown to the next interview just because you want to get rid of her. Listen to what God is saying. In the last days, God spoke by prophets, by the elders, by the teachers. But in these last days, he speaks to us by his Son. And his Son, his Son is glorious. His Son is perfect. His Son is Saviour. His Son is Lord. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? Father, forgive stumbling words, Lord God. But Lord, I just really sense this morning you wanted to speak to us about listening. That we might see a picture of who Jesus is and know that he's worth listening to. And Lord, we want us to know this Jesus because you've come that we might have life and life in abundance. And Lord, the more we know about you, the more we will see that coming up. So Lord, this morning as we leave this place, as we go on our way, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, I pray for this church. Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for their past. Our Lord, it's been glorious in this place, Lord God. Overfull. People worshipping of all ages, all tribes and nations, all coming together. Father, I thank you for what you have done. Lord, I thank you for what you are doing. Lord, I thank you for the men and women you've called to this place. Lord, I thank you for them, that they're standing strong. And Lord, I do know, and I'm confident, that as they listen to you, the future is incredible. Lord, come in might and power. Lord, help me listen to you that I might have life and life in abundance. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus is worth it. He's got the best references. So you better do something about it. Open up our ears and listen. Praise his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, David. As we come to a close, I just wanted to share that as I was putting the worship set together this morning, I thought, I don't know what song to finish with.